This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army Major General Paul Vallely. He's also the author most recently of Blood for Our Future. We want to get his thoughts on the latest developments in the major war theaters of Iraq and Afghanistan. In general, it's always good to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Let's start in Afghanistan. The pressure continues to mount on President Obama to make a decision about troop numbers and a general overall counterinsurgency strategy against the Taliban and its al-Qaeda allies. As you look at these increasing reports, sir, about troop morale, troops wondering whether the sacrifices they're making are going to be worth anything in the end, what do you make of all this? Is this the way it usually goes, or is President Obama waiting much longer than presidents normally do?
A couple things come out to me about this whole thing. I don't think President Obama or his national security people, his advisors, have any stomach for this war at all. So with several hundred thousand troops that we have out there in the areas of, in the Middle East, they have to make a decision on a strategy that's going to work and bring victory and bring our troops home as soon as they can. I mean, we've been over there in Afghanistan for 8+ years now, and our question that we posed last week, where are the Afghan Army forces, supposedly 90,000 in strength? Why aren't they out there on the border fighting with the Pakistanis against the Taliban forces? And we have a continued program and operational plans of getting American soldiers out, running these convoys, getting blown up. So the question comes down to why, and what is victory? How do we define victory over there? And if we can't define it, maybe we shouldn't be there.
In general, you asked several good questions there. Let's start with the last one. How do you define victory?
Well, you define victory as putting together a war plan that can completely dissolve and neutralize the training centers and the organized forces of the Taliban that operate across the borders into Afghanistan, and you do that in conjunction with a total military operation being conducted by the Pakistan forces. So it seems the Pakis are out there now fighting, but there doesn't seem to be any general staff where they're sitting down with the Afghan senior general, the Afghan senior leadership, General McChrystal, and the senior Pakistani military, and operationally running this war in each and every day. So it's very frustrating, and it's very frustrating to the soldiers.
General, the word used by former Vice President Cheney last week was that the president was dithering on this decision. The administration immediately fired back that the Bush administration dithered plenty too, including a troop request that was on the president's desk for months before leaving office. How much blame should get spread around here?
Well, of course, Greg, there's plenty of blame from the last part of the Bush administration and the current administration, but certainly you had a president that's been in there now, 8 months, so he should have been on top of that within the first 30 days when they transferred power as to what the current plans are, what the requirements are. So there's a lot of dithering going around. So these leaders have to come to the forefront and be decisive, because we have lives on the line each and every day. And just a tragedy again, we lost another 14 in helicopter incidents over in Afghanistan. And you can see Iraq is sliding away again.
Well, let's talk.
The Iraqi National Security Forces don't seem capable of bringing any stability to that country.
Is that the lesson from the recent and very deadly blast over the weekend, General, that the Iraqis aren't up to the job, or is there more to it than that?
Well, I think there's more to it. You have a government that is not very strong in Iraq, and you see the same thing in Afghanistan. So if these countries can't stand on their own, and in like in Afghanistan, and get their armies out there on the border working hard each and every day, then how can you nation build? Let's get the war won, and then we can nation build. You can't do both of these things. We should have learned that from Vietnam.
General, in terms of the morale of the enemy now, the fact that this decision is taking longer than some thought, is that affecting both theaters in terms of boldness of the enemy?
Well, sure it does. And it plays into the Iranians' hands, who are involved in this completely up to their eyeballs on supporting these forces, not only in Iraq, with IEDs, rockets, and also supporting the Taliban. So it's encouraging to them to see us dithering, as they say, or are saying, and not being decisive and dealing from strength rather than from weakness.
General, you obviously served in another war in which troops were wondering if their government was supporting them, and that, of course, is the Vietnam conflict. What does it do to the soldiers' focus and the soldiers' performance when there are questions about there about just the level of commitment that the government is willing to put out there?
Well, it puts a lot of strain on the leadership, right down to the company and platoon leaders. When you have a situation where you know the higher-ups, the higher chain of command, aren't providing 110% support to a victory and to achieving the objectives on the battlefield and getting home. That's the key to war. You can't extend war because prolonged warfare benefits nobody, no one. The key is the generals have got to stand up and the admirals and say this has to be done. If not, we cannot prosecute this war any further.
General, how do you expect this to play out here in the coming weeks?
They're so focused on health care and not the national security that I think we're going to continue to dither.
As always, we thank you for your time.
Okay. God bless our troops.
Absolutely, sir. Retired U.S. Army General Paul Vallely. He's the author most recently of Blood for Our Future. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.